So I really just wanted to give you an opportunity to, you know, tell folks about your experience first taking care of people who were sick and then being cared by people because you were sick.
Yes. Well, I work in the Brigham and Women's Emergency Department. I've been there almost 31 years, and I don't know how I contacted COVID-19, but when I did work, I took care of really sick patients, and they were very ill, and I became a patient myself on April 8th. I was in my bedroom, and I couldn't get out of bed, and I felt like someone was stabbing me with knives through my ankle joints and through my kneecaps, and I said, this is really an odd feeling. Got to my bathroom. I took my temp. I was 102.
Ooh.
So Brigham requires that you fill out a COVID pass before you come to work. So I obviously failed it. I called occupational health. The next day I went and got tested. And Friday, the Quincy Health Department told me I was positive.
Wow. What did you think when you heard that news?
I wasn't surprised because of the way I felt.
Yeah.
I wasn't surprised, but I was so sick. I didn't know what to think. I'm thinking, okay, I'll be better tomorrow. I'll be better tomorrow. And I never, ever, ever got better. I got worse.
Hmm. So did they have to put you on a vent, Debbie?
No, I was not intubated. I finally went to the hospital. I called the ambulance. My daughter actually called the ambulance for me because I called her and I said, I can't breathe. And this was like maybe after being diagnosed, maybe 5 days later.
Wow.
And the fevers were still 102.
Mm.
And my breathing was really hard. I couldn't take a deep breath. It got to the point where I couldn't even walk without such shortness of breath. And I am not a smoker. And I said, okay. I called the ambulance and they took me to the Milton ER because it's the local one. And from Milton, I got myself transferred because I'll be honest with you, Joe, I really thought I was going to die.
Really? And
I wanted to die at the Brigham because
wow.
That's my hospital.
Yeah.
If I was going to die, I was dying at the Brigham. That's the way I felt at the time.
Right.
Now I don't feel that.
Yeah. And I'm sure just a familiar surrounding and familiar faces were helpful for you.
Yes.
Too. Yeah.
Yes. You know, you go to a job for 30, almost 31 years. It's your home.
Right.
The people that work there, they're great.
So what would you say, Debbie, to folks who are saying, oh, this is just the flu, this is such an overreaction, you know, we shouldn't go into these extremes?
I think people should take it much more serious.
Yeah.
I think they should stop throwing their gloves on the ground. Mm-hmm. It makes me angry when I see them not walking with masks on. Just all you have to do is just follow the rules. The president has said it. The governor said it. Social distance. Wear a mask. Wash your hands. And throw your gloves in the trash. It's very simple. If we all could just do that, this virus wouldn't have spread so rapidly. We are not on a lockdown. We're on a stay in. And it's a very good policy to have right now.
Sure.
There are so many people dying, and I feel so bad that here I am home and thankful to God, but I know there's a lot of death in the hospital, and it's very sad for a lot of nurses.
Yeah. Did you lose some of the patients that you were taking care of?
I never did. You know, I always transferred my patients to the floors where we don't really know what happens to them there.
Right.
But we do know that there have been unfortunate outcomes for patients.
Sure. Yeah. And the hardest part that I've heard is that families can't be with them at that time to say goodbye.
There is a no visitor policy.
Right.
There are some exceptions, but there is no visitor policy. Even for myself,
yep.
It was a very lonely time. It was very lonely and scary and sad because And I actually will tell you the truth. I didn't want anyone to visit me. Just the thought that I could infect someone else. Oh, my God, that bothers me so bad.
Sure. Will you go back to work when you're able?
Yes, of course. Yeah. I love my job.
Yeah.
I've loved it. I've loved it for 31 years. I'm an ER nurse. I was a EMT years ago. I was a United States Navy lieutenant in the nurse corps.
Well,
so nursing is my life.
So, well, thank you for your service to the military and your service here at home as well.
You're welcome.
What's the protocols now, Debbie, for your recovery? What do you have to do?
Well, I'm still COVID-19 positive. So when I'm symptom free, I'm off strict isolation. Quincy Health Department calls me and asks me how I feel. So I have, they're going to call me back tomorrow. I'm still somewhat quarantined, but once I'm off strict isolation, I could go out with my mask on and maybe my backyard or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. I have to stay in the vicinity of my own home.
Okay. And have they given you any kind of timeline as to how long that might take?
It all depends on me. I called my job today, my boss, and she just said, take your time. We're here for you. And whenever you're ready, you call us. And then I have to go to occupational health. I have to have two negative COVID-19s before I'm able to return back to work.
I see. Okay.
So I know I have two more of those horrendous things go up your nose.
Yes. Is it as uncomfortable as it looks?
It's very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
It's like you really want to punch the person doing it to you, but I almost did.
Is that right?
And I've swabbed people myself, so I always tell them don't hit me. So I stand way in the side and I do that myself. And,
Yeah.
It was tough being on the other end, getting it in the nose. Oh my God!
Yeah.
And I had it done three times in the hospital.
Wow. Yeah. So do you think, you know, going through this whole experience, it'll give you a different perspective when you're taking care of folks that have COVID-19?
Yeah. Well, I've always taken good care of my patients. I've been told I'm an excellent nurse, and I do feel like I am. But I will tell you this. I have a different appreciation of someone saying, I cannot breathe, and you're COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
I can actually say to them, I understand
right. Exactly
what you're saying.
Yeah. People are lucky to get you for their nurse if they go through that. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I do advocate. I advocate a lot for my patients. And the doctors at Brigham Women's in the emergency room, and the PAs and the attendings, they know that you've been a nurse a long time, and they honor whatever you say, whatever you ask them for, and the cooperation that we have together for all of our patients.
Mm-hmm.
We do the best we can to take care of them.
Yeah.
And I do advocate a lot for them.
Sure, sure. Now, what we've heard is the shortage of gloves and masks and gowns. Is that an issue there too? Do you know?
I don't believe so.
That's good.
I don't believe so.
Good, good. So what did you think about the big homecoming parade for you? Or did you expect that?
No, I didn't. I was, whenever they wheeled me out in the wheelchair, oh my God. And I saw the Quincy police. I'm like, oh my God. And I'm like, okay, what is, you know, I kind of thought they're taking me home. The Quincy police is actually taking me home. And I felt so honored. I felt like I was back in the military.
Mm.
I have a deep appreciation for officers and of the law anyway. I always did. They are my heroes. Military people, sheriff's departments, all of that. They are people that I look up to. And when they were going zooming by me on their motorcycles, and my daughter was driving my car, and they would slow down and say, make sure you follow that guy in front of you. We were going so fast on the expressway, and the helicopters were above me watching. And I'm waving to them. And I guess one of them, I think Channel 4 got me waving through my skylight. I'm really not sure. It was an honor.
Yeah.
I felt the Quincy Police Department could not have made me feel more special.
That's great.
And I did tell them when I got here, I go, man, I never got home so quick from the Brigham.
You have that every day, right?
Never. It would be nice.
Yeah, that's great. So you're in your home, but yet you're kind of quarantined in a separate room in the house. Is that how you?
I'm in my bedroom again.
Yeah.
I have my own bathroom. Like it's 2 seconds away.
Yeah.
I have to put a mask on. I have my Purell. I have to Purell going out of my room. Come back in my room. My husband has been preparing my meals. He does everything, washes the, every time I come out of the bathroom, he disinfects everything. Mm-hmm. He's been nice to have here.
Great. That's great. So do you need anything at all, Debbie, from the community at all?
No.
Yeah.
I just want the community to know, thank you for everything they've given me, the fire department.
Yeah.
We're all lined up and thanking me. I think everyone, they need to be thanked too.
Okay.
They're also on the front lines. They're police, fire, all essential workers. They're out there with their PPEs on and trying to help with the best they can. And they know I appreciate them.
Sure. Let me ask you, I know you're a breast cancer survivor also. Yes. What was harder?
That like? I think anytime you go through a tragedy, it's hard going through it. When I went through breast cancer, I had a 1-year-old and a 9-year-old, and I was a single mom, and that was hard too. I had to go through chemotherapy. I lost my hair. I lost my eyelashes, my eyebrows. I was faceless. I couldn't walk. I couldn't do anything at the time, but because I had 2 children, I fought to live. Now that they're a little older, this COVID-19 was a little different. When I felt like I was going to die, I said, well, I know my children will be okay. They're older now. Hmm. And I lost my brother to cancer in December of 2019.
Oh, I'm so sorry. And,
every day I would sit at the window in my room and I look out far and there was a flag that would just fly. And, you know, I love the American flag. And an eagle every day would circle my window. It would just keep circling the window. And I just kept thinking it was my brother, Jimmy, saying, it's okay, Deb, you'll be all right. And you're going to go home. And I never felt so bad in all my life. I never felt that inability to breathe. And I don't think people realize what COVID-19 is. I don't think people realize how serious it is. And they need to take it serious. People are dying. Young, old, and they need to look at that. We don't have our newscast people home in their house doing Zoom for no reason. Our schools are closed. My son lost everything in his senior year. He's a senior at Quincy High School. And one day I called him crying. He goes, Mom, why are you crying? I go, I'm sad because you lost your prom, your graduation, your hockey banquet. He was a great hockey player, and he lost everything, and I felt so bad. I feel bad for all the seniors this year and all the schools, but especially my son.
Sure, yeah. Well, he's pretty lucky that he got his mom, and I'm sure he feels that way too.
Oh, yes, he's happy I'm here.
Yeah. So I really appreciate your time, Debbie. I don't want to, you know, exhaust you any more than you already are. Anything else that you wanted to add?
No, I just want to thank you. And I want to thank God for giving me my life back here.
Well, thanks for your time. Be well. And if we can be of any help here at QATV, reach out and we'll make it happen for you.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Be well.
Bye.
Bye-bye.